Welcome to our morning worship service. Glad to see you here. And let's start our prayer. Father, we praise you for the joy of the Lord that we all have. It's centered in Jesus. We fix our eyes on him, the author and perfecter of faith. We remember what he did for us at Calvary's cross when he shed his precious blood to pay the full price for our sins and give us eternal life. We praise you for his resurrection, where we know that we too shall rise. He is the first fruits. The sacrifice was accepted. Sin has been paid for. Righteousness is freely given, the righteousness of Christ to each of us. And Father, we praise you for the Holy Spirit within, who opens our eyes to see these truths, brings us to the point where we trust in the Lord Jesus, saves us, we're born again by his Spirit. And Father, we praise you for all that we have. And none of these things can be taken from us. None of them are based on the transient things of the world, the passing seasons, some good, some bad. None of these can touch that joy as we walk by the Spirit. And we pray that that will be filling us today as we listen to your word preached, as we sing your songs, lift your name on high, fellowship together afterwards as well. We pray that all these things will draw us closer to you and to one another and help us in our focus as we journey through this day today. We commit all these things to you, commit the hour to you. Bless Pastor as he brings the word. Fill him with your Spirit, and may we be rich soil to receive it, and it might bear much fruit. We commit all this to you and give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 20. I know it's a little long, but it's kind of a story that moves along step by step. So we'll read the whole chapter. Verse 1. And after the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him his disciples, and embraced them, and departed for to go into Macedonia. And when he had gone over those parts, and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece, and there abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him, as he was about to sail into Syria, he purposed to return to Macedonia. And there accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, Tychicus and Trophimus. These are all going before, tarrying for us at Troas. And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with a sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship and sailed unto Assos, there intending to take in Paul. For so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day against Chios, and the next day we arrived at Samos, and tarried at Trogyllium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus, because he would not spend the time in Asia. For he hasted, if it were possible, for him to be at Jerusalem the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable to you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, saying that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither can I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I am, have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I would thank you and praise you this morning for your goodness and love to us. Lord, thinking about the Apostle Paul and all that he went through, what a wonderful, wonderful ministry he had. And we thank you, Lord, for the ministry you have given to us here at Pauling, and pray that you will continue to bless this work We pray, Lord, that you will help us to continue to go forward and to serve you faithfully. We thank you so much for this congregation, for their faithfulness, and pray your richest blessings upon each and every one. We pray for any who are sick today that you would touch and heal them according to your holy will. We pray that you'll just raise us up and help us to continue to go forward and add to our number, dear Father, those who love you and who serve you. And we pray that we might all work together for the glory of God. Father, we just pray today for our missionaries. We pray that you'll bless them especially. Undertake for each one and the work that they're doing here in the United States and in other countries around the world. We do pray especially for the Kellers as they'll be going out to Armenia, brand new field. And we pray that they might be able to reach many, many people there with the gospel of Christ. We do thank you, Father, again for the good service we had last week with Ari Harbin, and pray for him and for his family. We pray that you'll meet their needs in every way. Bless their chosen people work. And all of our other missionaries, Lord, we just thank you for each one. Get their letters from time to time. We read about what they're doing, and we just thank you that they are serving you faithfully. And now guide us and help us throughout this service today. May your holy word speak to our hearts, and may we endeavor in every way to do your will in all things. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's turn once again to Acts chapter 20. We find here Paul's farewell message to the elders at Ephesus especially. And some other things here before that. But this is the main theme that we have here before. Saying goodbye, this faithful servant of God who will not see these people again. The Apostle Paul had a tremendous concern for the church and the ones that he established and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the needs of the believers. We have in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, he says, "Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is offended and I burn not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern my infirmities." So here the Apostle Paul had a great love and concern, the care of all the churches. And the word care speaks of a caring in different directions. He was concerned in so many ways for these people. Paul said that there's something that pounds and pushes upon me daily. He wanted the church to be pure and holy for the Lord Jesus. And he would greatly exercise for them and pray for them continually. You read Paul's prayer list sometimes and you wonder, well, what else? How else could he do anything else? And then he did so much. Right? Pray without ceasing, he said, and certainly he spent a great deal of prayer for the churches. He says we should care for the work of the Lord, you know, that we might help one another in our times of need, whatever it may be, and bring it before the Lord in prayer. He says, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. You see? So we can come before the Lord with whatever our needs are, whatever the needs of the church are, and allow him to show us how he's going to work out the situation. And here in Acts chapter 20, we find Paul leaving the church at Ephesus for the last time. A very emotional. He's setting out on his last journey to Jerusalem. There are seven men that are going along with him. It mentions them here from different places. Berea, Thessalonica, Derbe, and Asia. Mentions all those places. And these were the ones that were going along with him to deliver the offering to the poor saints at Jerusalem. And these churches had taken up their offerings, and these men were going along show their solidarity in helping the church at Jerusalem. So that's what they were doing. That's why all of these people are going along with Paul. And we find here also in verse 5 that Luke rejoins them. You remember before when they were traveling at Philippi, Luke stayed there. And now they're at Philippi again. And they pick him up. And he goes along with them. So Luke is there. It says that in verse 5, these going before carried for us at Troas. So Luke came to Troas, and we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. So now they're on their way on this final trip. And we see Paul's farewell message, first of all, to the church there at Troas. And he says, on the first day of the week. Notice that. This is when they met. The first day of the week. What day is that?
Sunday.
Sunday, right? We carry on the tradition. This is the day of resurrection, the day when Jesus came forth from the grave. And this is when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, breaking of bread, they say two different things. You can have communion, of course. Also, there was the love feast that they had when they broke bread together, and Paul preached unto them. He was planning to leave the next day, and he continued his speech, what did he say? Until midnight. Now, I don't know what time they started. Now, you know, back in those days, of course, they didn't have the blue laws or anything like that, you know. These people worked all day on Sunday, you know. But then at night, they were free to meet together after a hard day's work. And notice that's what one of the story here. It says there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. They were in the upper room up there. And all these lights. Now these lights were what? Lamps. Oil, right? Oil lights, right? It all produces heat, right? And what happened? We find this young fellow, Eutychus. Now, I don't know how old he was. He keeps talking about him being a young man. Well, he's a boy, he's a teenager, young person. Anyway, he's sitting there on the side of the window. Right? And they said this was a great big window, more or less like a door, where he's sitting there. And little by little, you know how it is when you're sitting and you get nice and warm and comfortable. Right? Passed out. And instead, what happened to him? He fell three stories down. And Paul went down and see how he was. It says that he was taken up dead. So it says, Paul went down and saw about him, and he saw his life was still in him. It's like Elisha. You remember back in the Old Testament there where he raised this boy from the dead? He breathed into him and so forth, and God answered his prayer, and he came back to life. So that's what happened to Eutychus. My word. What a kind of experience is that when you go to church, huh? Wow! To die and come back to life again. Yeah, you know, it would be wonderful to know what happened to Eutychus after this. Wouldn't it? Think of that. Wonder how the rest of his life was after he came back to life after dying there at the church. It says the name Eutychus means fortunate. Okay? So he lived up to his name. And so we find that he, they continued. You know, you would think, hey, that might break it up. What more can happen? We have a resurrection here. Paul went back to preaching again and preached until daybreak. Wow. Well, they had quite a meeting then. I guess everybody was wide awake by then. What do you think? After this miracle happened that God did, and they all were rejoicing, it says, and they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. No, not a little comforted. They were happy. They were rejoicing that God had answered their prayers, that this fellow was all right, and they continued on until daybreak. All right, next day, Paul got in the ship and sailed to Assos, intending, oh no, they sailed, Paul walked, okay? He wanted to, I guess, think. And so he was walking, and they picked him up at Assos, and he met them, and they went on their way, all these different places. You know where they are? You know, you have to get a map out and look at all these places where they went. So anyway, we see that they're on their journey. And Paul now is going to meet together with the elders of Ephesus, right? The leading pastors and evangelists and whatever from Ephesus. Those who were leading the church. And so they come there. And he doesn't want to go to Ephesus because he knows if he goes back there, he'll have to stay a long time. And he's on his way to Jerusalem. He wants to be there for the Feast of Pentecost, right? And so that's what he's doing. And so, verse 17, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. All right, gathering them together, so he can make his final speech, final fellowship, and say goodbye. You know? Do you like goodbyes? Not really. It's hard to say goodbye to somebody knowing you're not going to see them anymore. You know? I mean, especially if you like them. You know. Okay. Anyway, we find here Paul is saying goodbye to these people. These are the Christian leaders who were saved under the ministry of Paul. He had been there for 3 years. And they had become leaders in the church, and now we find here, he says he met them, and they all came together, and he said, you know how it was. The first day I came into Asia, after I've been with you at all seasons, he said, we've had some good times together, right? We've been working together for the Lord, and we've seen and have been consistent in serving the Lord during all the different times, right? And we've enjoyed that. He says, with all humility of mind, here we are, serving the Lord without pride and arrogance and all that, no, humility. That's what we need. Humility of mind, knowing that it's God who's working. And he says, with many tears. There were times of sorrow, right? In a church situation, this is true, isn't it? There are times of sorrow, times of heartache, and then there's times of joy, times when we can fellowship together and enjoy the things of God. So he says, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and temptations. You know? Tempted to do something perhaps you shouldn't be doing. You know, different things come up from time to time. We were talking about this in Sunday school. Many churches today don't continue to teach what they used to teach. Right? They have decided to go some other direction, and they can come up with something other than what's in the Word of God. We know that's true, and yet it's so dangerous. Temptations, and then he talks about the persecution which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Constantly. You know, Paul had to always be aware that these people were after him, wherever he went. Right? Man, what kind of a life is that? You know, think about, I was thinking about back when Russia and these other countries were under communism, the believers there, they were constantly looking over their shoulder to see who was following them, you know. Or even in the church services sometimes, these people would infiltrate the church. And they had to be very careful. And that's the way it was with Paul. He says, and we taught you publicly and from house to house. He says, we, you know, we had the public meetings, yes. We taught the word of God and gave you all that was profitable in all ways, publicly and also from house to house. You know? We don't do that a whole lot anymore, do we? House to house. And yet, it's biblical and something that we should be able to do. Reach into the homes as well as in public and teaching the word of God. And he said we have one message for everyone, right? This is the main message for, I know we teach many other things, right? Once we get saved. But here he says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, all these people. He says, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the message of the gospel, isn't it? Repentance. You have to repent. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Right? What does that mean? It means you have to change your way of thinking about yourself and think, I am not so good after all, right? I'm lost, I'm undone, and I need to change. And God, the Lord Jesus Christ, saves me from my sin and turns me around and sends me in another direction. Right? Is that repentance and faith? I believe it is. That's what it's all about. It's no words. It's not that we're doing anything. God works in us to do all these things. And for 3 years, Paul had faithfully preached and discipled those who believed and sent them out into various places to proclaim the gospel. And he says, now, I'm going bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. And Paul, you know, he wasn't blind. He knew what was awaiting him. Spoke of his present situation here, uncertain, right? He didn't know what was going to happen, not knowing the things that shall befall me. He knew that there was danger, persecution, suffering, and all of these things that awaited him at Jerusalem. He had been warned. You know, several places it talks about these prophets that came along and said, hey, if you go to Jerusalem, you know, this is what's going to happen to you. Paul said, I'm going anyway, because this he felt was the God, the will of God. He says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He was totally devoted to Christ, wasn't he? You know? We have to ask ourselves sometimes, do we have that kind of devotion? Quite the person. And yet someone to emulate, isn't it? This is what God wants from us. That we would die to ourselves and live for Christ. That's what he's saying. And well, I mean, he didn't have any desire to die, I don't think. You think Paul wanted to die? No. I mean, that he kept, you know, climbing in the basket over the wall and all those kind of things and trying to stay alive. But he was willing to do it because if that was God's will for him. He says, I don't put that in place at all. I don't count my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. Joy. What is joy? What do you think? Jesus, others, and you. Joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Right? He says, I want to finish my course with joy. I don't want to be ashamed before the Lord when I go stand before Him. I want to finish with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, I want to finish victoriously, preaching the gospel and standing for that which is true. He was determined to continue on. And he said here, his hands were clean. Boy, this is quite a statement that he makes here. Verse 26, he says, wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Wow. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Preaching the word, not leaving anything out, not changing what the word of God says, but proclaiming the word of God in truth. And he says, my hands are clean. I've told you. You have to respond to the message, right? He says, once I proclaim the gospel, it's up to you. You have to receive it, and you have to live according to God's word. So he's warning them here of the future dangers that are coming. Verse 28, he says, take heed to yourselves. These were the pastors and leaders. They needed to take care of themselves to make sure that they were doing right. And then to all the flock over which the Lord of the Holy Ghost has made you overseers. I really appreciated that display that Pam put downstairs there with all the sheep and the flock. You see it? And said that we're the shepherds of all these sheep. You are the sheep. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm a sheep also, by the way. Mm-hmm. Jesus is the great shepherd. We're sheep also. But we are shepherds in that sense of the word. And he says, take heed to your flock. You know? And the Holy Spirit has placed you here as overseers. Feed the church of God. The one that he has purchased with his own blood. You see that? Whose blood? God's blood. Jesus. He has cleansed us from our sins and we have life in Him. Right? He has purchased you with His own blood. Because He says that things are going to happen you need to be prepared for. And we live in a day when we need to be prepared. Right? It says here, let me see which verse I'm on. 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock which he has purchased with his own blood, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Wolves coming into the church, the flock, for the purpose of destroying. And that's happening. Think of our own nation. So many times we have wolves coming in sheep's clothing. And we have to be very careful. And also your own selves. Here it is. Some of you, you elders out there, you who claim to be servants of God, of you, you come speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. So be careful. And speaking to us as believers, we just need to make sure that whatever someone says, it is in the Word of God, right? And that we are not trying to lead someone into a different direction. So, it's so important that we know that. All right. Verse 31, therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. So he's been faithful. And now, brethren, I commend you to God. Okay. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The word of his grace, which is able to build you up. The importance of the word of God. That's the reason we need to keep coming back to the scriptures. And realize that that's where we get our food, that's where we get our health, our strength, and to go by the Word of God. He said, I'm commending you to God who has given us His Word, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Paul says, I haven't tried to get rich off of you. Go, yes, you know, that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that are with me. You remember, he was a tent maker, right? And he worked. He made his own living. And he was able to do that without costing the church anything. And then, of course, you pay me. I know that. And I'm not trying to say that, but I think... it's that all the scripture says that those who do the work of God should be recompensed, right? So that's right. There's nothing wrong with that. And yet that shouldn't be our motive for service, you know? And Paul said, no, I didn't try to gain anything from you. And we as servants of God should not do that either. We should do it because we are serving the Lord and doing His will. Okay. I have showed you all things how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, those who are in need, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I don't know where Jesus said that. It's not recorded, as far as I know, in the Bible, but at some point he said it. Because it's right here, written in red in my Bible. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said that. And certainly, that is a biblical teaching. We know that. And we should always seek to help those who are in need. And when he had not spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. That was it. That was the last thing he said. Apparently. According to the Lord Jesus, saying, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And then he kneeled down and prayed. And they all wept. You know, can you picture this? Here's all these believers sorrowing over the fact that their apostle is going to go away and they'll never see him again in this world. This is the man who has taught them and preached to them and helped them in so many ways, and now he's gone. I was just thinking, you know, Pastor Rain was here, what, 41 years? My goodness. What a letdown to see him go, right? And yet God has sustained the church, kept going. And now we are looking forward to the future. What does the future hold? You'll see. But we have to keep going. And don't give up. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him. Okay? I can see that. I know when we were in Italy, you know, you go to church, all the men line up and they kiss you on both cheeks. You know? And most of them have whiskers. You know? And anyway, it's showing that there are brother-in-law, their the boxer from heaven. Okay. Anyway, sorry most of all for the words which he spoke, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him to the ship. And Paul went on his way. So they prayed and wept, kissed each other. What a display of Christian love. Sorrow to see him go, and love and joy to know of all that he had done for them. And he had accomplished all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus and done so such a wonderful work. It's always a blessing to read about the Apostle Paul and all that he accomplished and to seek to follow his the course that he set out before. Our Father, how we thank you and praise you for your wonderful word and for the way in which you speak to us. We pray that we would be obedient. Trust and obey. May we follow you in every step that you would lead us. May Jesus Christ be praised. Speak to us and guide us. We pray in his precious name.
Father, we thank you for this time together. Pray that you would seal to each of our hearts what you have at stake from this time. We pray that Jesus will be glorified in our lives throughout this day and into the coming week. Pray for your blessing as we return again tonight and look at your word together and worship you. May that be a blessed time. Father, thank you for calling and for the joy it is to be a body in Christ together, serving you here. We pray that you would use us mightily for your kingdom and for your glory as we head out today. Commit ourselves to you and give you thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.